One of my favorite movies, still after all these years, is the old musical, The Sound of Music. It's a true story about the von Klapp family. And it's in Austria, and the lead actor was a retired Austrian captain. And as Nazism was spreading and it was began to take over Austria, he was one of the ones who was a resistor. He didn't believe in Nazi dogma. And as the pressure became more and more clear that he was going to get arrested and put away, they came up with this idea of how to escape. And there was this big choral competition in the city, and the von Trapp family, if you remember, they did their little thing, they did a song, and that's it. And the bottom line is they snuck away and left. And then they're making it over the hills in the Alps to escape, I think they were trying to get to wherever it was that crossed the border to be safe. But the Germans were following them. Now, if you had gone to the original grand opening of that movie, and you were sitting out in the audience, that might be a very anxious moment for you, because you just don't know what's going to happen, because it looked like the Nazis were going to catch them. If they did, they'd all go to prison, concentration camp. But if you were at the grand opening, if you were at the world premiere, at world premieres often you'll have some of the actors and writers and producers and directors and other people, sound people, they'll be sitting in the front rows. And if you were in that movie and you were watching it and getting anxious, you might notice those people, they weren't anxious at all. And the reason they weren't anxious at all, because they knew how it was going to end. There's a place in Ephesians 2:10, it's a verse we've quoted a lot lately because it's stunning. Of course, all of the verses are stunning, aren't they? It says, "For we're his masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus, that we might walk in good works prepared beforehand." This is Hebrews chapter 4. Now, I'm going to share with you a mystery about rest. Not physical rest, but profound interior rest. As a matter of fact, the more you enter into his rest on the inside, the more irrelevant physical rest actually becomes, because you're not carrying all the stress. So what I'm going to share with you is a mystery, so if your brain goes, what? Just celebrate. There are a lot of things in the scripture that are mystery but are true. Westerners want to figure it all out, but God just says some things he wants us just to celebrate. So if you know the comparison in Hebrews 3 and 4 is that God had promised Israel, we've talked about this some lately, he had given them a promise of inheritance in the land of Canaan. And an entire generation, even though God said, "I've already given it to you, it's already yours, you just got to go in and claim it one step at a time. But they're already defeated. But I'll manifest that victory one step at a time as you walk in faith. But it's already yours." But a whole generation couldn't believe. They sent the spies in. 10 of the 12 came back and said, "There are giants in the land." And so because of unbelief, which he also refers to as disobedience, it's the disobedience of unbelief, they weren't able to enter in to the land of rest that God had promised them. So in verse 1 starts of chapter 4, it says, "Therefore, let us, as New Testament believers, while a promise remains of entering his rest, any one of you should seem to have come short of it." Now, he's not talking about just experiencing rest. He's talking about the kind of rest that God experiences in the interior of his being. I mean, how much at peace is God? How anxious is God? How nervous about things is God? How much rest does God experience in his inner man, inner person? "For indeed, we had the good news," the gospel. Now, the gospel isn't just... So you got to elevate yourself above modern evangelicalism. The gospel isn't, if you'll pray this prayer, your sins will be forgiven and you won't go to hell one day. That's a great part, right? It's like the door. It's like walking through the door and going, "Wow, this is cool. This door, I'm going to live at this door. This is all the things about it, is the door. Thank you, God, for the narthex." The gospel, the good news, is that Jesus took your fallen humanity to the cross in his person. And in his person, your sin were paid for, and the person you once were died, and was buried, and was raised up a new creation in Christ. That's the gospel. I think we make that really clear around here. That's the full gospel. So those of you who have heard good news preached to us, just like they did, the Jews did, about their land of inheritance that was already accomplished for them. But the word they heard did not profit them, because it was not united by faith in those who heard. Now, was it still true? Was the land theirs? Was it already theirs? Was the enemy already defeated Was every victory already promised in God's mind, already accomplished? Yes. But it didn't profit them. The whole generation died in the wilderness because it didn't profit them what God said was already theirs, the good news to them, because it wasn't united with faith. He says in verse 3, "For we who have believed," Christians, "enter that rest. Just as he has said, 'As I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest.' Although his works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he has thus said somewhere concerning the seventh day, 'And God rested on the seventh day from all his works.' And again in this passage, 'They shall not enter my rest.' Since therefore it remains for some to enter it, and those who formerly had good news preached to them, the Jews, failed to enter because of the disobedience of unbelief." He says, he again fixes a certain day today, saying through David after a long time, just as has been said before, "Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, he would not have spoken of another day after that. There remains, therefore, a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For the one who has entered his rest has himself also rested from his works as God did from his. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, for lest anyone through the following the same example of disobedience." Now, that's like a cool, we need to do like a series on this, those scriptures. But he notice that he says this in verse 3. "For he who has believed entered his rest, just as he has said, 'As I swore in my wrath, they," the Jews, "shall enter my rest, although his works were finished from the foundation of the world." What is he talking about? Okay, this is where you have to have mighty expansion. God's thoughts are not like our thoughts, the scripture says. His brilliance, his genius, what he can contain. You know what it says about Jesus in John 1:1? "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God." Now I'm going to give you a little thing that I'm not trying to impress you. But that verb there, was, is not like a normal verb. It's in the Greek language called a durative imperfect. And what it literally means is that he was is, he is, and he will be is forever. He was is, and he will be is. He's present tense. He was always being is the Word, is being is the Word, will be is the Word. Their victory in the land of Canaan was already accomplished and secured before the world was ever formed. When God rested on the Sabbath, he rested from all his works. And we get to enter in, we, those of us who believe, have entered his rest. So here's the contradiction here. It seems to say, if you believe, you've entered into the rest of God. Now, be diligent to enter that rest. Kind of like the Jews. It's yours. The victory's won. The Jerichos, the Ais, all the others, the Girgashites, they're all defeated. They all know they're defeated. You're the only one who doesn't know they're defeated. So just go in and claim they're your victory. It's already done. See, we get to wake up tomorrow and find out what God did. We get to wake up tomorrow and find out what God did. For you are his masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus, created for good works which he prepared beforehand. When was Jesus crucified? 2,000 years ago at Calvary, right? No. It says in Revelation 13:8, before the foundation of the world. It's entering into the Sabbath rest of God, which all of us have, but let's enter in. It's all ours. We have to enter. We have to believe what we say we believe. When you became a Christian, you entered into his rest, that we get to walk out without stress and anxiety because he's already guaranteed, promised victory. He's already been there before us. We just get to walk out time and space and see what God's done. He said, well, how does that fit into prayer? I understand. I asked the Lord years and years ago, God, explain to me, connect the dots to me. Free will makes a difference in what happens. But you said that you know the end from the beginning. Not you know the end as you got closer to the end. Okay, I can see how the end's going to happen. From the very beginning, you knew the end. How can you know the end from the beginning? And yet, there's free will. And what I do determines things. And that's when the Lord told me, finally after years, he actually said, I could hear my spirit, he said, you don't want to know the answer. I said, I want to know the answer. I'm a teacher. And so he said, what you do now determines what I've already done. I thought, okay, you're right. I don't want to know the answer. Because I can't explain that. I have no control. It's frustrating. If you can't explain something, you feel like you don't have any control. But it's just the truth. All the things that you're worrying about, he's not just going to work it out for you. He's already worked it out for you. He rested from all his works. And therefore, he says, be diligent to enter into his rest because we rest from our works. In other words, it doesn't mean about passivity. I just don't need to be sweating it out emotionally. I can actually walk trusting instead of trying to make things happen, pushing, manipulating, maneuvering, that I'm walking into something he's already prepared beforehand. I'm just supposed to walk in it, in Christ. I'm in Christ. And now it's his story. And from God's perspective, being lived out through my life, it's already been told before the foundation of the world. God worked it out a long time ago. Just walk it out. Resting from your works because you're resting in his finished work. His finished work when Jesus manifested what God did before the foundation of the world 2,000 years ago again. And he said, perfect. It means so much more than you and I could ever, ever, ever imagine. The good news is really big. Amen? Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.